Leprosy is an infectious skin disease where it makes your skin die, the nerve endings die, etc. and all, and your skin begins to rot. And for Jews in Palestine, the skin disease itself, leprosy itself, was not the worst thing. That far worse was the social isolation that the leprosy brought with it. That the Old Testament told lepers they had to live outside of the town, wear torn clothes, cover the upper lip, and cry out, unclean, unclean, when anyone approached. That to be a leper was to be a member of the walking dead. And in this gospel about healing, it's not about death. That the lepers, being so rejected that they had to wear little bells around their necks in case they forgot to call out, unclean, to call out, get out of my way, I'm a leper. Don't come near to me, I'm a leper. That their whole life was so unbelievably sad, rejected and lost. The disease cut lepers off from everyone close to them, from their family members, from their friends. Their family members would consider them dead, that they had already died, even though they were still alive. That as Jesus goes and enters the village, the 10 lepers beg him for help. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And they remind us that in all of our difficulties and problems, we can turn to Jesus. We can say to him, have pity on me. That Jesus is the one with whom we can share our very deepest needs, our very deepest wants. That the leper goes and returns to Jesus was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were not on good terms with the Jews at the time. They did not like the Jews, and the Jews did not like them. They were arch enemies in a way. Because the Samaritans did not recognize the need to have only one temple there in Jerusalem. They thought they could have their own temple, their own priests. This is why they did not were not on good terms. And Jesus goes and says to that Samaritan, though, your faith has saved you. Why did Jesus tell him his faith has saved you? That after all, the other 9 had also been cleansed from their leprosy. That they were obedient. Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priests to show that they were cleansed. And off all 10 went, and they were cleansed. They were being obedient to what Jesus had commanded them. That they did not, though humbly return, prostrate themselves at the feet of Jesus after their healing. Whereas this man did. His faith brought him before Jesus, made him fall prostrate, humiliating himself before Jesus. That salvation comes from Jesus, and we come before Jesus, our faith is saving us. That we encounter this greater reward, this bigger reward given to us, when we go beyond the obligation of just pure obedience. The pure obedience of just going to Mass, keeping the commandments. When we go beyond that, entering into this relationship with Christ, that we have here a precious indication of what the meaning of salvation is in Luke's gospel. At the other 9, of course, experienced that physical healing, but they didn't experience salvation in the full sense. Beyond the physical healing or rescue, salvation for Luke above all means coming to know God in a new way. As a God who saves, as a God who loves us, being transformed then by that knowledge. The Samaritan who returns, give thanks because he really has come to know salvation, has come to the knowledge of salvation that Zechariah spoke about in the birth of his own son. Recognizing what God is doing in their lives, of how God has come to save us from sin and death, come to give us grace, come to share his love with us, giving us that promise of eternal life. That the skin deformations caused by leprosy made the lepers look repugnant to the eyes of sun. Jesus also would look repugnant to some during his passion. For that reason, St. Therese of Lisieux referred to Jesus during his passion as looking like a leper. And she goes and writes, I worship thy divine face. Once it shone with the beauty and the sweetness of the divinity. Now for my sake, it is become as the face of a leper. That it is for our sake, for our salvation that Jesus has done this. That in Isaiah, centuries before Jesus, in a prophecy about Jesus' passion, there's a description of how awful he would look in that. That so marred was his look beyond that of man, and his appearance beyond that of mortals. One of those from whom men hid their face, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. That Jesus, who healed these deformities of these 10 men, looked so badly during his passion, from the bleeding, the scourging, falling under the weight of the cross, from the crown of thorns being pressed upon his head. That Jesus, who healed the lepers, now looked like a leper, if not worse than a leper. Jesus suffered all of that so we could be healed of something much worse than a skin ailment. That we could be healed from sin. That we could be saved from the death of sin. That he could heal us and give us that promise of everlasting life. Salvation flows to us from Jesus on the cross. The grace of all the sacraments flow to us from Jesus on the cross. That lance piercing his side. The blood and water pouring forth from his sacred heart being opened up there. It's the sacraments being poured out for us, them being established in his passion. And maybe sometimes we find it difficult to believe that God could give us the grace of Calvary, the grace of salvation through the sacraments, through ordinary means. That we might prefer that God to save us in more exalted ways. That such struggling with humility necessary to receive God in this way is also an issue that the Syrian leper Naaman ran into in our first reading. And Naaman was this great, powerful general. He wanted to be cured and has his own ideas of how this cure should come about. That he's enraged when the prophet Elisha doesn't even bother to come out of his house to meet him. Simply sends out a messenger and telling him to bathe 7 times in the River Jordan. But how sensible and touching the advice of the general servants to him then. The father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be cleaned. The Naaman swallows his pride, humbles himself, follows the instruction of the prophet, and his flesh is restored, like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is where the part of the episode comes then into our reading. The Naaman returns to Elisha, returns to his house, stands before him, and makes his confession of faith in Israel's God, in our God. That not only has he been cured of his physical ailment, he has undergone a profound conversion in his life. He's abandoned his preconceived ideas about the cure. He's put aside his national pride, submitted to the dictates of the Israelite prophet. Above all, this has led him to a knowledge of God as the only God of the whole earth, saying that he will only offer sacrifices now to the one true God, no longer to pagan idols. That only one more thing does Naaman have to learn, that no gifts in return, either to God or God's prophet, are required, are necessary. That Israel's God, our God, distributes favors with absolute freedom and generosity. The only thing necessary to do now is to have grateful acknowledgement for this gift being given. The salvation from Jesus on the cross flows to us in humble ways that God has chosen. Jesus' salvation touches us firstly, like Naaman in the Jordan, when we're immersed in the waters of baptism. And then at each sacrament following that first sacrament. That just as Naaman struggled to humbly immerse himself in the Jordan for healing, there's one sacrament, I think, now that we still struggle to humbly receive for our salvation. The sacrament of reconciliation. That we ask ourselves, why do I have to confess to a priest? That one of my teenagers this past Tuesday at youth group started talking about this. Talking about how we want that pure access to God and his forgiveness. We want that clean water of His grace. But instead, God has decided that we need to go through the muddy water of the priest. He was calling me muddy water. The teenager started calling me Father Muddy Water for the rest of the night. It was wonderful. That God, though, uses the hands of the priest to consecrate bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus, why would it be any stranger that God used the words of the priest, I absolve you from your sins? That Jesus breathed on the apostles and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. Who am I to think I know better than God? I am simply His humble minister. That we each are simply God's humble ministers. The Naaman struggled to be humble enough to immerse himself in the Jordan River. But he did, and he was healed when he bathed in that river. In the sacrament of reconciliation, God asks us to humble ourselves, to confess our sins to His priest, and in return gives His forgiveness. It's not my forgiveness, it's God's forgiveness, His salvation that flows to us from Jesus on the cross. But something a priest told me when I was younger was that it's actually Jesus whispering to you in the confessional, giving you His mercy. Now all this, though, reminds me of St. Bernadette of Lourdes. St. Bernadette, that poor, ignorant girl, uneducated, didn't even speak proper French, only spoke a dialect of French, uncatechized, hadn't made her first communion yet because she was uncatechized, started to have those apparitions of Mary. Mary appearing to her. Mary speaking in her own dialect, meeting her where she was. That as those apparitions unfold, Mary asks her to pray, to do penance. Eventually, Mary goes and points to the ground there in that grotto, in that cave, and tells her to drink from the water. But St. Bernadette has to start digging. Eventually, the dirt starts to become muddy, and Mary tells her, drink. She has to drink that muddy water. Looking back, St. Bernadette goes and writes that it was one of the hardest things she had to do in her life, was to drink that muddy water. But eventually it became clean. It became those miraculous waters that millions of pilgrims visit each year to encounter God's love, to encounter His mercy, His salvation. That God cured, Jesus cured the 10 lepers, but only one of them received that salvation. The other 9 did not return to humbly prostrate themselves at the feet of Jesus after their healing. Whereas this man did, his faith brought him before Jesus, made him fall prostrate before Jesus. Salvation comes from Jesus on the cross in His humility, who looked worse than a leper. And when we come before Jesus, our faith is saving us. We come before Jesus in humble ways that God has chosen for us in the waters of baptism. Being anointed with holy chrism by the bishop for confirmation. Receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the form of bread and wine. Being anointed with the oil of the sick by the priest. Receiving God's forgiveness through the words of the priest. Then he says, I absolve you from your sins. The Naaman expected God would want to cure him in some magnificent way. But God chooses to come to us in ordinary ways, in humble ways. That all we need is faith, like that Samaritan leper, to see and believe, to fall prostrate at the feet of Jesus, to come before Him on the cross in His humility, to receive His salvation. That He goes and forgives us on the cross. Gives forth His life for us there on the cross, pouring forth that blood and water. That we now get to receive that every time we go to the sacraments. That Jesus can tell us, as He told that leper, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you.